Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to 3. He called a little child and had him stand amongst them and said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is the third week that we're going to be talking about this. And hopefully by now you understand that at this point in time, the disciples are busy arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know that that's not very spiritual? Their attitude displays jealousy, envy, pride, competition, none of which has any part in the kingdom of God. And Jesus has his own unique way of bringing them down to earth very, very quickly, because you know what he does? While they're busy arguing about who's the greatest and they want him to now decide, because you see, everybody's got their own argument as to why they are the greatest. So they come to Jesus, he must make up his mind and say, who's best? He doesn't give them that answer that they are looking for. He simply goes and he fetches a little three-year-old, maybe a little four-year-old. He puts the little four-year-old in the center of the group. He focuses their attention on that child and he says, I've got news for you. All of you want to be great in my kingdom. All of you want to be spectacular. You want to be powerful. You want to do good signs, wonders, and miracles. You want people to notice you. I've got news for you. Unless you change and become like this little child, you will never partake of the kingdom of God. I wish I was a fly on the wall. I wish I could see Peter's face. I wish I could see John. That must have been the last thing they ever expected him to say. The disciples, according to Jesus, need to look towards this little child and change their attitude to be more like this child's if they are ever to experience the kingdom of God. And I said to you before, what is the kingdom of God? A lot of Christians misunderstand this completely. My friend, the kingdom of God is not a place you go to one day when you die. Hello? Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Come say it with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Stop. If that was about going to heaven, we would all be dead now. Because you've just asked for the kingdom to come. Hello? And you notice we're all still here. The kingdom of God is not heaven one day. The kingdom of God is the manifestation of the power of God right here on earth. Every time Jesus performed a miracle, it was the manifestation of the kingdom. When he walked on water, it was the manifestation of the kingdom. When he told Peter to go and catch fish and open the mouth and inside will be a gold coin, that was a manifestation of the kingdom. How many of you want the kingdom to manifest in your life? All of you are thinking to yourself, man, I'm going to go to the Val Dam this week and I'm going to try that one. It only works when God speaks that word. All right. But the thing is, when the kingdom of God is made manifest in my life, signs, wonders, and miracles follow. Because the kingdom of God can bend the rules of nature. It can bend the rules of science. It can bend the rules of physics. Hello? In the natural, people say, you are useless, you are pathetic, and you will amount to nothing. In the kingdom, God has called you for greatness. Where would you like to live? The place where people discount you, where people say you are useless, or the place where God can raise up through you a leader or a warrior or whatever? Come on, where do you want to live? Raise your hands if you want to live in the kingdom. Now, I'm very disappointed in you. I was expecting somebody to jump up and start dancing. This truth is not only applicable to the disciples, it is also applicable to you and I. I want you to nudge the person next to you. Not in a funny place, you're in the church, I'm watching you. And I want you to say to them, unless you change, you will not enter the kingdom of God. As we have already seen, children tend to experience life very different from the way adults do. Their differences from us actually makes them better suited, according to Jesus, to living a kingdom life. You may look at a little child and say, ach, shame, they really don't have much. They haven't achieved much in life. They don't have money in the bank. They don't drive big fancy cars. They don't own a house yet. Ach shame, they still have to go through life. Don't ach shame them for 1 second. Because respectfully, compared to you, they live and experience the power of God's kingdom daily. And we should be wanting to be more like them instead of wanting them to grow up quickly to become more like us. One of the biggest problems that we as grown-ups have, which closes us off to the things of the kingdom of God, is unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness is actually something that poisons your body, your soul, and your spirit. People that suffer from unforgiveness, people that suffer from bitterness, often experience lots of sickness, lots of infirmity, lots of pain. There is often depression and anxiety and fear and all sorts of other things that mess with them. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it." In other words, the second is equal to it. "Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In other words, Jesus says, if you can fulfill these two commandments, then you fulfill the law. The disciples were in love with themselves. They didn't give a hoot about the rest. Why would you come to Jesus and say, "Lord, who of us is the biggest, the best, the greatest, the smartest, the fanciest," if you don't want to be better than somebody else? And the only reason you want to be better than somebody else is because you think way too much of yourself. Now, if the second commandment is like unto the first commandment, would you say that they were fulfilling that commandment? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love your neighbor, you don't have a problem when God uses them instead of you. Hello? If you love your neighbor, you don't get stressed and freaked out and full of jealousy because your neighbor got a promotion and not you. Hello? If you love your neighbor, you don't freak out because they've bought their fourth new car this year and you're still driving a 19-foot sack model, do you? No. Love is the opposite of pride. It is the opposite of joy, jealousy. It is the opposite of bitterness, and it is the opposite of unforgiveness. Satan loves to entice us with thoughts of bitterness, revenge, hatred, etc. towards another person. Your mind becomes a very busy place after somebody has done something to you. Because the devil knows now your mind is fertile soil for thoughts of revenge, thoughts of anger, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of rage. And if you don't stem that tide, then those thoughts will begin to dominate your life. Those thoughts will begin to control you. And guess what? That's what the devil wants, because bitterness is a poison. And when poison flows through your body, it will never be well with you. The devil loves it when we do these things, because then we end up doing his job for him. We poison ourselves and we weaken ourselves spiritually. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 11. "If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." The Apostle Paul is talking about forgiveness. And he makes it very clear that unforgiveness is one of the biggest ways that Satan outwits a believer. Which really just means it is one of the greatest ways that Satan gains power over a believer. If you have an adversary that wants you to be a failure, that wants your life to be going nowhere, how many of you know it's very counterproductive if you are helping them to achieve their goal? You should be resisting them from achieving their goal. The moment we allow bitterness and unforgiveness into our hearts, we are helping the devil achieve his goal. Amen? Then it's no use you blame the devil for all of your problems. You should be looking towards yourself. Because if you don't give him place, He can't be doing that. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. We love as Christians to quote the first part of that scripture. Whatever you pray to God, believe that you have received it, and so it shall be. Then later on we get very upset because we prayed and we believed and nothing happened. But we didn't fulfill the second part. When you stand praying before God and you have something against your brother, forgive them. Hello? Why? Because unforgiveness blocks your prayers. Hello? And that's why a lot of believers, a lot of Christians, have spent years praying and praying and praying for stuff and they have never seen fruit on their prayers. Because their prayers are being cancelled out by bitterness and unforgiveness towards people. Forgiveness is one of God's conditions to answered prayer. Therefore, unforgiveness would result in unanswered prayers. A man whose prayers cannot be answered by God is a man who is living a very hopeless life. And listen to me, by the time you and I are adults, we've had like probably 100 people hurt us. You can be 21 years old and have had 100 people hurt you. By the time you're 50, you can have 1,000 people that have hurt you. If you choose to harp on those things, if you choose to live in the past, if you choose to entertain the thoughts that the devil gives you, you will become a totally, totally bitter person. And let me tell you something, you will become a very poor Christian. Your light will not shine because there is no light. It is just darkness. You'll pray for breakthrough, you'll pray for healing, you'll pray for restoration, you'll pray for miracles, and guess what? Nothing will happen. Because the devil knows that you're holding on to that rubbish. How many 3-year-olds do you know that walk around harboring grudges? Have you ever met a 3-year-old that has described to you in detail, great detail, how they're going to get back little Johnny for doing this and that in the sandpit last week? Hello? You see, children do fight just like us. Grown-ups fight, children fight. It's just the way that the world is. The big difference between a child and a grown-up is children will climb into one another, they'll kick and they'll scream and they'll bite and they'll chanan. But you know what? When you come back there 20 minutes later or half an hour later, they are the biggest friends ever. I mean, if somebody punched you in the face like that, you would probably go to your grave with that image. You know, it's like, I'm going to get you. Funny how 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds don't seem to have that problem. Yes, bad things happen to them, but they don't harp on them. They forget. They move on. Imagine you go to a birthday party. This has probably happened to a lot of you, if you are parents. You go to a birthday party and you meet people that you do not know, and the kids are all playing together, and the next moment, little Johnny and little Pete, they are into one another. The one is kicking, and the one is shouting, and the one is screaming, and the other one is punching, and it's just a whole big fight. Who gets charged up first? The two mommies. And guess what? Now I'm blaming the other child, and you blaming my child, and so the next thing we want to punch one another. We like highly upset. Being grown-ups, we decide to be civil about it, and we go and sit and sulk in the corner. Hello? Now we've both got issues with one another because you didn't raise your child the way that you should have, and jou kind het nie maniere nie, and what, you know? So now we sit there and we're eyeballing one another. We're giving one another this, like, checking one another out. By the end of the birthday party, Madam A has got an ulcer. Madam B's blood pressure has gone totally through the roof. The two of them are not going to sleep tonight because they are filled with hatred and anger and rage. Guess what? Little Johnny and little Pete have become best friends. They've forgotten all about the fight and they had a wonderful birthday party. Forgiveness comes natural to a child, no matter what the situation. Forgiveness seems to be a foreign concept to a lot of adults. Children live life to the fullest. They live for the moment. They don't worry about the future. they couldn't give a hoot about the past. So long as you give them something now, a child is happy. Which explains why they don't struggle to forgive one another. You don't need to forgive somebody if you've already forgotten all about it. Hello? Which explains why children tend to sleep well. Which explains why you don't find four-year-olds with ulcers. Why they don't have blood pressure problems. Why they are not filled with anxiety and stress and fear and all of the other things. Which explains why generally children are actually very healthy. They never poison themselves with rubbish. The next thing that children have that you and I sometimes battle with, or that they don't have that you and I sometimes battle with, is fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." Now I want you to listen to the scripture. I want you to listen to it. Just allow this to fill your mind and enter into your heart. "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." Now, a lot of grown-ups listen to a scripture like that and then they think to themselves, "Geez, how does that work? God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but I'm afraid of the dark and I'm afraid of death and I'm afraid of the future and I'm afraid of failure and I'm afraid of rejection." Is the Bible lying? No. The Bible isn't lying, for the Word of God says when you were created, you were not created with any of those fears. Yes, we do fear death. We do fear failure. We fear commitment. We fear rejection. We fear abandonment, etc., etc. But the reality is, when you were a little child, when you were 2 years old, when you were 3 years old, when you were 4 years old, none of those things were part of your life. You weren't created with it. It was brought upon you and you received it through bad experiences in life. Science has proven that a newborn baby really just has two fears, and they are not something to get stressed about. The first fear that a baby has is a fear of loud noises. If you've ever seen a newborn baby, if you make loud noises, the little hands go like, ooh, you know, they catch a fright. And the second fear that a child has is a fear of being dropped. Not a fear of heights, a fear of being dropped. Every other fear that you can think of was forced upon you by life, but you were not created with it. So you see, God did not create you. Yes, you sitting here with all of your irrational fears. That's not the way God created you. That's who the devil wants you to believe you are. But when you study the blueprint of how you were put together, you will not find any of those fears there. So why do you want to live with them if they are not part of you? Many of the fears that we have today, we actually received from other people. Or they have come through our own overactive imaginations and minds. I'll give you an example. We know that a child is born without all of these fears. But possibly that child has a father who doesn't think things through. You see, the father thinks the best way to get little Johnny to eat his peas is to tell him that the boogeyman is going to come for him tonight if he doesn't eat all of his peas. And so the father keeps calling that spirit of fear over his child. If the father never filled the child's mind with all of these negative, fearful images, the child would have grown up blissfully unaware that there is a boogeyman. And listen, yeah, if you're still afraid of him, there is no boogeyman. Come for prayer. We'll pray him out of you. But we do stupid things. A lot of people think that it is okay to use fear to try and motivate a child. Listen to me, man. That's ridiculous. Because you are planting a seed that the devil will allow to grow in that child's life. A lot of people, by the time they are grown up, are full of fears. And if you go back to their childhood, their parents played a role in a lot of these fears developing. That's not right. We live in a country where there is a lot of crime. I accept that. And I know that crime has touched a lot of you. But as a grown-up, you need to understand that your children look towards you for stability. They look towards you for peace and joy and fulfillment. If you fall apart every day because there's been another crime, your children learn to fall apart because of crime. If you can't leave the house before checking everything and double-checking and phoning the police to come and check the gate and wara-wara, how do you think your children are growing up? They are growing up being taught to be fearful of everything. Because your children look towards you to learn how to live their life. How sad is it that a lot of times we transpose our own fears, our own irrational, useless, stupid fears on our children, and now they grow up with this problem that God never created them with. Raising children is a responsibility, and we need to do it the correct way. Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, "What I have feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." This is where many of adults' fears comes from. It comes from their own minds. What you fear will come upon you. If you walk around with this fear in your mind all of the time, you are calling that spirit of fear to come to you. The devil can't read your mind, but he knows when you're messing with his stuff. Hello? He knows instantly. It's almost like he sits in front of a big radar screen. I can't prove this to you, but I happen to think that there's a lot of truth in this. He sits in front of this radar screen that is tuned to the wavelength of fear and thoughts pertaining to fear. When you do not allow fearful thoughts to come into your mind, he doesn't see you on the radar. You're like a stealth bomber. And I'm not talking about your size. I'm talking about your ability to deflect his radar beams. Hello? But then, when something happens and you begin to allow fear to come into your mind and you begin to like, ooh, but what if this happens? And ooh, but what if that happens? Ooh, I can't do this. And you begin to allow fearful thoughts. Suddenly that radar screen begins to light up and he begins to notice you. And he immediately knows, because you see, this screen is for fear. That screen is for rejection. That screen is for anger. That screen is for hatred. He knows which screens. Give him which key into your life. And if you start pinging on the screen of fear, he'll send some spirit of fear to go and help you. If you ping on the screen of anger, he'll send a spirit of anger and see if he could just manipulate things a bit more. If you call on the devil, he will come. And he will do everything he can to allow what you fear to manifest in your life. Children, don't sit and conjure up fears for hours. They would rather play and have a good time for hours. When you drop off a child at a party, they are immediately overjoyed to see that there are 20 possible new friends that they could have a wonderful time with. A grown-up goes to a party where they don't really know people. They spend hours worrying whether they're going to fit in, whether the people will accept them, whether they're going to be having a good time, etc., etc. Can you imagine a two-year-old saying, "Mommy, please don't take me to that playgroup again. I'm sure that the other kids there don't like me. They're always talking about me behind my back. And I don't think they like me very much." Children don't have fear like that. So they don't call on those things. They live for the moment. They enjoy things. They enjoy life. Can you imagine a two-year-old saying, "Daddy, I don't really want to get too close to you. I'm not 100% convinced that your love for me is genuine. I've been hurt so many times." Hello? Two-year-old? Three-year-old, four-year-old. But you see, when we're in our 20s and our 30s, that's it. Like, oh no, I have a fear of commitment because people have hurt me in the past. So I don't want to get too close to you. Can you imagine a four-year-old saying, "Mom, please don't bring me Lego to play with anymore. Because I'm so worried that when I build that house, it's going to collapse and somebody's going to sue me. And, ach no, Mom, I can't just deal with all this pressure now. Please." Children don't overthink things. They just go for it and they enjoy life. If us grown-ups didn't fill their heads with all of our fears, possibly they would grow up never having any fears. Children always see hope. They always see promise. And they are always ready to have a good time and have fun. They never even contemplate the astronomical amount of things that could go wrong. They just go into things believing that everything is going to be just fine. The next thing that children have that adults sometimes lose somewhere along the way, children are teachable. In fact, children aren't only teachable. If you've ever worked with children, you will know that children have an almost endless longing and yearning for knowledge and to be taught. If any of you have ever gone through the 4 and 5 and 6 year old phase, why is it like this? Why isn't it like that? How does this work? But Dad, what if? They ask you the same question 100 times a day, not because they're trying to get on your nerves, because they have this longing to learn new things. They're excited about new things coming into their life. Children learn and develop at a staggeringly quick rate, simply because they are indeed teachable. You know what? In a child's growth and development, if you are outside of the sphere for about 6 months and you meet them again, it's like, wow, look at how you've developed. When I saw you the last time, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. Look at it now. Can I tell you a little secret? You and I can grow and develop at the same pace if we just commit to want to learn new things. Grown-ups, on the other hand, and of course teenagers for that matter, unfortunately often believe that they know everything. You try and share some of your hard-earned wisdom with an adult, and the result is often one of the following. Who do you think you are? This guy thinks he knows everything. Or they say, okay, that's nice. And then they turn around and they go on with business as usual. In fact, a lot of grown-ups are very offended when you try and teach them something new. It's like you've committed the cardinal sin. They take it personally and they think that you are judging them and think that, but they don't know something. Yes, let me tell you something. As you're sitting here, there are a million things in this world, probably more, that you do not know. But possibly it could be a wonderful thing for you to know it. But God's going to have to use someone to teach you. Hello? And that means admitting I don't know everything. And for some people, that's just like not on the cards. You know? What do you mean I don't know everything? I know everything. Sounds to me like you don't know much about humility. Now there's your problem. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." I'm going to repeat that. Listen carefully. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Who are the people that get understanding from the Word of God? The simple. Hello? Now, I know when you were younger, maybe your father called you simple and stupid and this and that, and that's not what we're talking about here at all. The simple are those who accept the truth without clauses, and their acceptance of that truth is unconditional. They accept the truth. It's not, but what about this and what about that and what if this and what if that? It's just, oh, that's the way it is. Good. If the Bible says God wants to bless you, a grown-up, yeah, but what about when I was this age and what about that disaster that came into my life and what about, we come with 110 reasons why we should question that. Have you noticed that children tend to accept things? When you tell them this is the way it is, that's the way it is. Somewhere in our growing up phase, we come to a place that we begin to question everything, and that's not good. A child's mind is a simple mind. We don't mean it's stupid or slow. but simple, without all the storms, with the fears and the doubts that an adult sits with daily. A child will receive instruction and obey. A grown-up wants a long, complicated explanation and then turns around and says, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. No. Children are teachable because they are humble. You see, children have many, many, many things that they do not understand. But the one thing that every child does understand is, ooh, I don't understand everything, and I am dependent on others to teach me. A child realizes they need to learn, and they are never too proud to ask questions or receive guidance. Ooh. When a child comes to a new place and there are things they don't understand, they run around. What is this? What is that? What does that do? Excited. There's new stuff. A grown-up is attending something and they don't understand something, so lacquer. And there's like this, should I or shouldn't I? No, people are going to judge me. They're going to think I'm stupid. I'm just going to sit here. We don't want to ask questions. But that's the only way we learn. We don't want to seem stupid to other people. Listen to me. Asking a question and wanting to learn isn't stupid. It's the beginning of wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5 says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may uplift you in due time. The disciples were anything but clothed with humility towards one another. Each disciple thought, I am better than you, I am better than you, I am better than you. Quite frankly, I'm the best. What's humble about that attitude? Nothing. Children have not yet fallen into the trap of pride and self-righteousness and hoping that they are better than anybody else. A king may have a servant that he never speaks to, that he never directs, that he never interacts with. Because a king probably thinks to himself, you know what, that slave is just, or that servant is just way beneath me. I'll speak to the head servant and the head servant has to speak to you. Guess what? Somebody forgot to tell his four-year-old that he's not supposed to mingle with those classes. Because the four-year-old spends every single day interacting with that servant, learning from that servant. Children don't have the issues that we sometimes have. Children are never too embarrassed to ask for something. How many times have you gone to somebody's house and the first thing that your child does is, I'm thirsty. Do you have some Coke? Or they notice a sweetie there on the mantelpiece. Run up there. Can I have this? And then the mom is going like, Children aren't afraid. They aren't afraid to ask for something. They aren't afraid that they're going to be rejected. And they actually have a lot more peace in life than most of us. Children come into this world not knowing anything, completely ignorant. And guess what? It doesn't bother them in the least. They're not worried that somebody's going to find out that they don't know. They're not worried that somebody's going to expose their ignorance. They accept that they still need to learn. The next thing that children have that's wonderful, that we should learn from, is children have confidence in themselves. Unlike many grown-ups. If you ask a group of toddlers to do something that they have absolutely no experience with, you will get a response that will convince you that they are actually professionals at it. If we had to, today, just as a test, an experiment, do a little play, a little skit, and I had to ask for volunteers, the chances of getting many volunteers from my audience here is extremely small. Because immediately people are going to think, wow, you know, people are going to check me up there on the stage. What if I do this wrong? What if I do that wrong? Ooh, I have the wrong shoes on. I don't have matching underpants. No, there's 100 reasons why I can't do this now. You walk up to a little four-year-old and you say, listen, do you want to be part of this thing? Yes, I'm brilliant at it. Pick me. But you don't even, I haven't asked the question yet. I don't care, pick me. Children are 100% convinced that they are going to be brilliant at whatever it is that they're going to be doing. You ask an adult to stand in front of people and speak two words, and you've ruined the friendship. Children aren't critical about themselves. They aren't critical about their faults. According to them, they have no faults. Probably when you were younger, you've seen this. I remember when we were younger, in our house, there used to come days when me and my brother and my sister, actually it was more me and my brother. You know, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. My brother was about 4 years old. And we used to love to put on these plays for my parents. We'd even have, a curtain. We'd even have one of my mom's Waverly blankets, like all strung out, and we'd have to go behind for like a curtain call and all of that type of stuff. And then we come out there and we sing a song very, very falsely. We dance around very, very clumsily. We make a total hash of it because nobody has any lines. Everybody's trying to say everything at the same time. And at the end, we do like a real curtsy or whatever you call it. And we just expect everybody to clap because we've just performed brilliantly. Hello? And guess what? Everybody did clap and think we were brilliant. Hello? If you want a grown-up to perform the way that a child does, you need to give them copious amounts of alcohol. And even then, they mess it up. Children, the next key that children have that we sometimes lose, children live their lives by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. All children live their lives by faith. In fact, they have no choice. They have to live their life by faith. Because what can a child do for themselves the first couple of years? Nothing. They grow up believing that mommy's going to take care of this and daddy's going to take care of that and everything's going to be fine. And guess what? Everything is fine. They live by faith. A child cannot provide for themselves, but they know by faith that somebody will, and somebody always does. Have you ever known a child to have sleepless nights, wondering and stressing where the food and the clothes and the roof over their head is going to come from? But I'm telling you, there are many 20 and 30 and 40 year olds here today. That's the only way you fall asleep. Stress, stress, worry, worry, until your hard drive crashes. And then the next morning you wake up and it all comes over and over again. Children know very well that they can't do much to take care of themselves. But they don't stress about it. They don't worry about it. They live life. Enjoy it. Grown-ups find it nearly impossible to have this kind of faith in God. When was the last time you really just, you knew that there was big problems, you knew that there was bills to pay, you knew that there was a lot of things that you can't control, but you chose to just go and sleep and believe that it's all going to be fine? We battle with that. Children don't. Unless you change and become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Another key that children has that we should take some note of. Children live in a world that is forever changing. If you take a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old, they are constantly exposed to new experiences, new shapes, new forms, new tastes. In fact, a child's world is an ever-changing world. They take it in their stride. They view every new challenge as a new adventure. Grown-ups, on the other hand, view every new challenge as a potential calamity that God is now testing them with. Children find a way to enjoy things. They turn everything into a game. The experts tell us that things like marriage, moving house, accepting a new job, those kind of changes are some of the most stressful things that a person can go through. Have you ever noticed how a 4-year-old goes through moving house? Every box that's put down there was put down there for them to play with. Everything lying around is put there for them to start a soccer match with, you know. Mom and dad are freaking and pulling out their hair and stressing and yelling at one another. And the kids are off in a room somewhere building a skyscraper from boxes. Or discovering all the intricacies of the new house that they are moving into. But the last thing that they're battling with is adjusting to the changes that have come. Grown-ups try and find ways to stop change. We are creatures of habit. Sometimes you're in a job that you don't like, but it's better the devil you know than the one that you don't. So I'm not even going to try and go somewhere else. It's okay if I'm not really into the stuff. It's okay if I don't really like it. It could be a lot worse if I try something else. Children are not like that. You give them a game to play that they don't like, they drop it right there and they go and they do something that they do like. Oh. It was not stressful on you when you were a toddler to experience change. In fact, you loved it. You couldn't wait for it. You embraced it. Grown-ups, we try and stop changes. Children, they can't wait for new changes. We desperately need that childlike quality that embraces change and makes the best of it, whether it's good or bad. Changes are necessary. It is often through change that God opens new doors that will lead to elevation, that will lead to blessing, that will lead to you discovering who you are and your destiny. And the more we fight God when God wants to bring change into our life, the further away we are from discovering who we really are. Remember, Jesus did say these words, unless you change. The next thing that's important to know about a child, children are very carefree and they enjoy life. You see, my friend, children can always find a way to enjoy life. I'll give you an example. The washing machine breaks down. One of the pipes have come off. Within a couple of minutes, the whole laundry is flooded. Mommy is freaking out because her new leather shoes are now destroyed. Dad is freaking out because this is going to cost a bomb to fix. Together they are moaning and complaining because things just keep going wrong and wrong. Guess what? Little Johnny is sitting there and he's playing with his submarine. Wow, Dad, thanks for the pool. Wait till the friends at school. Yeah, we have an indoor pool. Yay! Toddlers don't give a hoot as to what you think of them. They don't walk around all day thinking, ooh, it's my hair, okay. Remember, I said toddlers, not teenagers. All right, teenagers, they've forgotten all about this. They don't worry whether their hair is tidy. They don't worry whether their teeth is clean. They don't look at their trousers. There's a little spot, yeah, and there's... In fact, have you noticed toddlers like to walk around in just their nappies? Yeah. And then they come very proudly and tell you, I've made a number two. As if they had to tell you, you could smell it a mile away. But they're not stressed about that. I mean, it's just, hey, I'm here to enjoy myself. You know, moms, I don't want to be funny, but I'm not speaking of anybody in this room now, okay? But moms, they tend to dress their children really weird sometimes. You know, like the little sailor outfits and all these things that they do. You know, some of these kids, they really look a little bit weird. Well, bless God, when you're a child, you don't realize that you look really stupid, you know. According to you, you look brilliant. And you know, when that little sailor outfit comes marching in, everybody goes like, ooh and ah. It's like the child's like, yes. Somebody forgot to tell them they look bad, but don't tell them. Ignorance is bliss. Little Johnny goes to a social event with his mommy and his daddy. Within 2 minutes, he has gone through the whole place. He knows every nook and cranny and he's found 10 new best buds. Very, very excited to be at this new place. Meanwhile, in the same time, his parents have barely moved around. They've greeted one or two people. And they sit around worrying whether they fit in and whether the people here really accept them. Grown-ups feel that they have to have expensive toys like four-wheelers, jet skis, 4x4s. They have to frequent expensive restaurants to have fun. You give little Johnny two pieces of stick, a piece of paper, and some rubbish that you wanted to throw away years ago. And he couldn't have more fun even if you spent 10,000 rand. You see, a child doesn't care what the circumstances are. They find a way to have fun in their circumstances, whether the circumstances are good or whether the circumstances are bad. A grown-up better not be exposed to negative stuff because they become negative and they refuse to have fun. They sulk, they complain, and they throw tantrums. The next key that children have that we sometimes have lost. Children still have the ability to dream big dreams. When you were younger, some of you wanted to explore space. Some of you wanted to be the next supermodel. Some of you wanted to be the next Michael Schumacher. When you were younger, you didn't aspire to drive a Toyota Corolla. You wanted at least a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Porsche or something like that. When you were younger, you weren't like, oh, you know, one day I'm going to marry. I just want a man, you know. As long as it's a man, it's fine. No, you wanted a prince. You would even settle for a frog as long as when you kissed him, he became a prince, you know. When we were younger, we didn't dream of mundane things. We dreamed big dreams. We were excited about the future because we knew that the future is going to be brilliant. It's going to be excellent. Little kids don't care about the crime rate. They don't care about the rand-dollar exchange rate. They don't care about the inflation rate. They still have hope for a bright future. Unfortunately, as we get older, we keep lowering the bar on our dreams. You see, we become afraid that, ooh, but that's, I was aiming a bit high there. Probably I'm not going to achieve that. I'll just lower it. The Ferrari first becomes a Mercedes, then it becomes a BMW, then it becomes a Corolla, and then even a Daihatsu Sherrard will do, you know. The fear that we won't achieve our dreams begins to rob us of those dreams. The reality is many grown-ups settle for much less than what they are capable of simply because they've given up on the dreams that they had in life. Then the next key that children have that's wonderful is children live life fully in the present. A child takes every day as it comes. A child doesn't live in the past. They don't drag up all the issues and all the problems and the people that didn't greet them and the people that stabbed them in the back, etc., etc. They don't worry. You see, they made mistakes yesterday just like you and I. Some of them got a hiding yesterday just like you and I. But guess what? Today it's forgotten. Today is a day of hope. Today is a day of opportunity. Today is a day to go and make new friends, have new experiences, and enjoy life to the full. They say that yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift, and that's why it is called the present. If you're sitting here and that doesn't make a lot of sense to you, you don't understand what that means, I want you to find a four-year-old and follow them around for a week, and that'll make sense to you. Children don't worry about the future. They don't even realize that there is such a thing as the future. They haven't become negative expecting bad things to come into their life yet. They still live a very innocent life. They can still trust God for good things, for blessings. Amen. Ah, a next one. Wonderful. Children are easy to please. Children don't really know what's awesome, what's stupid, what's baseline, what's brilliant. Children get excited about just about everything. They get excited about good things. They get excited about bad things. They get excited about expensive things. And they get excited about cheap things. They'll get excited about things like walking barefoot. They'll get excited about you giving them a 10-cent toffee. They even get excited about picking up the rubbish. Please note, again, I'm not talking about teenagers. But you see, for a toddler, everything is an adventure. Wow, brilliant. Look at all this rubbish. Huh? You tell a teenager to pick up the rubbish, it's like, man, the end of the world. Dad, how's your mind? That little one of mine sitting at the back there. When I'm busy working on stuff, he's always around me. He always wants to help, yeah, and he always wants to help there. Unfortunately, when they get older, they don't want to help anymore. Yeah. You need to use ingenious ways of getting them to help. Please don't motivate them with fear. All right, that's not good. A child can go to a party. Listen to this. You drop your little toddler off at a party. The food is pathetic. All right, the woman totally overcooked everything, and she forgot to put sugar in the cake. The cold drink is disgusting. It's got way too much acidity. If you grown-ups had to drink it, nobody would take a sip. The pool was cold, and the jumping castle kept deflating. The little box of tricks that they normally hand out, there was only like a hard marshmallow in there and one of those old small little chomps. But when you go and pick up the little toddler and you ask them, how was their day? Ma, it was brilliant. It's the best day I've ever had. When a grown-up attends a party, unfortunately, things are often very different. We find 110 reasons why it's not a good party. We criticize everything and we complain about everything. You give a child a cheap present and they love you forever. You give a grown-up a cheap present and you've insulted them. The last thing that I want to share with you about children is children are capable of unconditional love. When certain people come up to you and they are friendly and, you know, they seem to be all loving, you may be forgiven if you think to yourself, what's this one up to? What is your angle? Because you see, in a grown-up world, showing love or showing affection or being kind is often just a means to another end. Too many adults have ulterior motives for friendship or services rendered. The good news is 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, probably up to 10-year-olds are incapable of being like that. When a child smiles at you, it's because they want to smile at you. It's a real smile. They're not smiling because they are thinking that you are stupid, or they remember some disaster from your past. You know? They smile because they are excited to see you. When they smile at you, or when they hug you, or when they spend time with you, it's because that's what they really want to do. It's not because somebody's given them some money, or somebody's manipulated them to do that. They don't do things for you or for me, or for anybody because of what they can get from it. They do something because that's what they want to do from their heart. Whatever a child does for you is pure. Sometimes what grown-ups do for you, you're not so certain. Children don't just love the rich. They don't just love the sexy. They don't just love the powerful. They also love the rest of us. This is where you all say, "Ah." Oh. Jesus made the following statement. He called a little child and had him stand amongst them and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. A lot of grown-ups think to themselves, man, praise God, I'm not a toddler anymore. No, I don't think so. You should be saying, Lord, please give me the spirit of a child once again. Because children experience God's goodness like that. His grace and His mercy is always there for them. A lot of grown-ups, they don't even know what it looks like. They don't even know what it feels like, simply because they are no longer childlike. Please note, not childish, childlike. And I've got some good news for you. I want to end off this way. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. God created you a certain way. The person that you were when you were 3 years old, you are still that same person. You've just added a lot of rubbish to yourself. But you can be that little 3 year old again. It's good to have the experiences that we've had in life. We should take the good things that we've experienced, but we must stop harping on the negative things. We must stop harping on the past and the failures and the fears and the rejection and all of that type of stuff. You need to begin to pray that the Lord will bring you back to that place of innocence that you had when you were 4 years old. And God will do that for you. Why can I say that? Because His Word says, unless you change and become like a little child. We can't go back. There are many things that we can't change. But if God begins to work in our hearts, He'll help you to get rid of all the fears. He'll help you to get rid of all the rejection. You know that thing that you can't start new things because you're always afraid that it's going to be a failure? You weren't like that when you were 2. You weren't like that when you were 3. And God didn't make you that way. So somewhere, you've attracted rubbish to you that needs to be pushed away. God will help you to push away the rubbish. God will help you to begin to see the world the way a 4-year-old sees it. When you begin to pray and ask the Lord to become as a little child again, you will view the world as a much better place. I promise you, there will still be trials and tribulations, but you'll find a way of enjoying life even though things are not going 100% the way you want it to. You will have hope for the future again. Amen? And you will have a lot more peace. Probably some ulcers will disappear. Probably some blood pressure will come down. Did anybody learn something today? Let's give the Lord a big hand.